Thank you for joining me today for today's weekly update, and we're focused on COVID and Omicron today. I want to thank Dr. Jose Romero for his leadership and for being part of this today, as well as Secretary Johnny Key, and he'll have some comments about our schools. First, let's just review where we are. Right now, active cases have doubled since the last week. 1 week ago, we were at 32,000. Today, we're at over 64,000 active cases. Hospitalizations have increased by 373 since last week. Now we have over 1,100 hospitalized with COVID. Pediatric hospitalizations, which Dr. Romero watches very closely, have increased this month. We have 50 this month so far, as compared to 41 last month in total. And of course, we're only on the 11th day of this month. Our response to this rapid increase of COVID cases and Omicron spread is that we have increased hospital capacity. We have $50 million approved by the steering committee yesterday. The legislature will be taking action on this. This will provide us with 265 beds. I had the mark of 1,000 when action would be taken. We've taken that action, and that should assure us of having a space into the next week or so anyway in terms of hospital capacity, and we will take action as needed beyond that. Secondly, we've increased access to testing. The Arkansas National Guard has been deployed across the state to assist in PCR testing, assisting our hospitals. And you can see here the different areas in which the National Guard is deployed in helping with testing through our hospitals. In addition to that, and you'll see they have some great pictures of our National Guard at work that you can see in different capacities supporting our pandemic response. In addition, though, we've tried to increase the rapid tests that are available for in-home use. And those have been available, of course, through retail establishments at a cost. We have ordered over a million, 1.5 million for Arkansas. They'll be delivered periodically as the supply allows that to happen. We've received 211,000. Today, I mentioned that we'd received 393,000 in addition. They're actually en route to be here, and hopefully will be here tonight. But that would give us in hand over 500,000, actually 600,000, that we will be distributing to our communities. Don Adams is here, who has coordinated the distribution of these wave, Don, these at-home tests, and done a great job on it. He told me that the Garland County Library is an example of where we have them in hand. They distribute over 300 at-home tests very early, and they expect to have 1,000 distributed during the course of this day. That shows the significant demand for these at-home tests. The map of the locations of these where you can get the at-home tests is on the Department of Health website. You can go there. You can see where they can be available. In addition to our response in terms of testing and hospital capacity, we've increased the vaccine clinics through our communities and through our schools. I was pleased in a number of places across Arkansas, you see advertised or you see marketed vaccine clinics being held on the weekends and making it available for everyone. And so the message is clear that get vaccinated, and if you're not vaccinated, wear a mask to protect yourself and others. But the best solution is to get vaccinated. While that does not eliminate every possibility of you being infected, it does diminish greatly that chance, and it diminishes the chance of hospitalization or severe illness from it. Omicron is here. It is here. It is raging across Arkansas. But what we see from the data internationally and nationally is that this will pass through. And so we are anxious for that to happen, but we've got to hold the line. We've got to make sure we take the action so we can get through January into February, where we expect to see this variant diminish significantly, just like it has in other countries. What is important is that we get vaccinated, we get tested as needed, and take the precautions that your particular situation dictates. What we can't do in Arkansas is to close down in-classroom instruction in our schools. It is critically important for the well-being of our young people, for their mental health, for their development, for their education, and for the stability in life that in-classroom instruction provides. The second thing we can't do is we can't argue for shelter in place for families with unvaccinated children. Can you imagine if you've got a nurse that is told they need to shelter in place because they have unvaccinated children? We need these people in the workplace. We need them in the healthcare facilities. And we cannot be sheltering in place and considering that as an option. And then thirdly, you can't stop living. You can't be calling for suspension of public interactions. That's not where we are in our society today, and it's not what we need to do to get through this. We need to take the other precautions that I've identified, including getting vaccinated. That is important. The message is simple: get vaccinated. And that's an important message for Arkansas. Then I wanted to mention the hospitalizations for a second. There's been some national stories on this, and I asked the Department of Health to do a survey, a one-day glimpse in time, as to how many in the hospital for COVID are there because they went there because they were sick and ill and had symptoms of COVID, versus going there for an incidental or other reason and then being tested in the hospital and being identified as having COVID. And that one-day glimpse of time survey that was taken, 30% of the hospitalizations that were accounted for COVID in that day were actually incidental. In other words, they went to the hospital for another reason and they were tested for COVID, as they should, and they were positive, even though they might not have been symptomatic at that point. And the reason the statistic is still relevant is because that's the way we've been doing it from day one. But secondly, that if someone is in the hospital for another surgery or for some other reason, they still have to be treated as a COVID patient. They have to have the PPE that's necessary. Hospital has to take the precautions. They have to have a level of isolation. And so it is appropriate to count that, but it's also important for everyone to understand that distinction. And since day one, I've tried to share information with the public, and this is a bit of information I think is important and puts things in perspective. And then I'm actually going to reverse the order today, and I'm going to go through my slides on the cases count for today. Then I'm going to ask Secretary of Education Johnny Key to come and talk about some more flexibility for the schools. But let's look quickly at our case report. As I said, 7,756 new cases. Active cases are over 64,000. Very sadly, 25 new Arkansans have passed away because of COVID. Next, we've given out 7,815 doses, and which means that in the last 24 hours, that's our vaccination rate. With this level of increase, with this level of spread of Omicron, that number needs to be higher. I can only think that the public sees this as not as worrisome as Delta, and there is some truth to that, but if you want your schools to operate, if you want people to be able to work, it helps us to increase the vaccination rate in Arkansas. Hospitalizations have gone up 80, and so we're over 1,100. That's a very big increase. We probably will continue to have increases in hospitalization over the next week. Ventilators have gone up 16. Testing is very high. That's very close to the high point of testing since the very beginning of the pandemic. One day was over 20,000 and time passed. You can see the counties and how dramatic Pulaski County is, 1,529. And here's just as I mentioned, you can go to healthy.arkansas.gov and you can see the locations that the at-home tests are being distributed. I should add, they're free of charge. They do not cost you, and this is where you can go. There will be a limited supply, and there's limits as to how many can be given out. It's all dependent upon supply. We want to make what we have available to all Arkansans. Vaccination status of Arkansans by age category. Let's just look at the 65 and older on the right column, and you can see in the green that is the percent that is fully boosted, and that is 43% is fully boosted. 31, the yellow is those are fully vaccinated. The red is not fully vaccinated. And so that's 76% is either fully vaccinated but not boosted or boosted. And you can see that in the different age categories. Obviously, as you go down in the age categories, those that are not fully vaccinated increases, and those are the numbers that we worry about, and those are, quite frankly, the growth in cases that we see. Hospitalizations, this is just a comparison of the Delta peak. So on the left, this first hump is the Delta peak, and you can see the yellow is the hospitalized, the red is the in ICU, and the blue are those that are on ventilators. And then you compare it to where we are now and this type of increase that we have and growth that we have under the Omicron variant. And you can see how steep the hospitalization has been in the last couple of weeks. Next, just show the 7-day rolling average of cases. You can see the growth in those. Next, you'll see what I like to show again, just look at hospitalizations. And almost 86% of those that are hospitalized because of COVID have not been fully vaccinated. And that's what is the data point that should catch everybody's attention. 7-day rolling average of positivity, we're at 30%. So it's very high in terms of positivity rate. And with that, let me first ask Secretary Key to come and talk about the relief and flexibility that we're providing the schools in regard to contact tracing. And then I'll let Dr. Romero back clean up today and to finish.
Thank you, Governor. You know, in light of the recent numbers, and many of our districts have been seeing a very large spike in the number of cases that they've had, not just with students, but with also their staff, they're running into difficulties with just keeping up with the calls, keeping up with the data entry. And so working with Dr. Romero and his team, we have created some opportunities for flexibility with the through prioritization to their responses when they have these types of situations. The first priority, obviously, is we want our school districts to identify the positive cases and report those cases to the health department, and then making sure that those individuals are excluded from the school setting. Then the second priority is to identify the individuals with symptoms and make sure they are removed from the school setting so they can go and get tested. And then the third priority is to identify individuals in the school who are obvious contacts to those positive cases and getting them off campus for the recommended quarantine period. For that time, for this time being, until the district experiences a slowdown in the surge that they are seeing, these probable close contacts do not have to be reported to the health department on the probable close contact form. And that's where much of the work, much of the overwhelming burden is occurring, is in that reporting process. In addition, any district who has a universal mask requirement in place can forego identifying the probable close contacts in their district, with the exception of those settings of high transmissibility, such as athletic other activities, that extracurricular activities, where the individuals are unmasked and where there's close contact with those individuals. That is an area where the identifying probable close contacts should continue. And we believe that this will provide some immediate relief to those districts who are encountering just an overwhelming number of reporting burdens and tracing burdens right now. So with that, I'll turn it back.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Secretary Key. A couple of comments today on the testing. So tests are available. They're being given for free in our local health units, our libraries, and our partners. It's important to note that if you have symptoms and a test very early, you need to follow that with a second test. That's why individuals that are coming in are being given two tests, six tests for a family. Make sure that you double up on that and double check yourself a day or two later to make sure you haven't become positive. Use your mask until then. It's also very important that if you test positive, you follow the CDC recommendations for quarantine, right? So knowing that you're positive, you then remove yourself from the community so that you don't spread the virus outside. Anybody really going public should be using a mask at this time. That is your safest way of protecting yourself, even if you've been vaccinated, and more so if you have not. And lastly, with regard to children, I want to stress that this is, again, not a benign disease. We're learning more and more about this virus and its long-term complications. Last week, a report by the CDC showed that children that have had COVID are at greater risk for developing diabetes mellitus, that's sugar in the blood that requires insulin use. Now, that has to be further substantiated, but two large studies document and support the data that already exists for adults. So again, parents need to take this into account when deciding when to vaccinate and if to vaccinate their children. I strongly recommend it. I have to say, unfortunately, in our state, only 10.3% of children between the ages of 5 and 11 are fully vaccinated. So we have a long way to go. And again, use of masks in school. Thank you very much, Governor.
With that, we'll take any questions.
I guess this year, because of the there's no emergency in place, the schools are limited to 10 AMI days that they can use for virtual instruction. Do you foresee that being a problem, and are you considering anything to give schools more flexibility on going to virtual?
I'll let Secretary Key, you want to address that first, and I'll think of an answer.
So yes, under statute, for alternative methods of instruction, they are limited to 10 days. Also under statute, districts have to build in 5 makeup days at the end of their calendar. Districts have 15 days total within which to work, but there's also the option of the old-fashioned makeup day. That is not off the table, and it is something that districts can do if they need to make up time, also make up days by adding an hour to their day. That is also an avenue that is available to them under current state law. So we will continue to monitor the situation and keep the governor apprised if any further action is warranted.
Let me just add that I'm impressed with the desire of the educators in our state to make sure that we stay open for in-classroom instruction. We know that there's some circumstances that you have to go briefly to AMI, but they know the importance of that in-classroom instruction, and so they're committed, and we want to be able to help them get there. Staffing is a challenge with the absences that we see for school staff. And when one school I talked to had 25%, I believe it was, of the staff out one particular day, that makes it hard to function. And they're covering it in different ways. But I encourage those that might be a retired teacher, those that might be in a point in life that they're qualified to be a substitute teacher or to help staff, make sure you're on the list to support our school system. And if you haven't thought about that, you haven't done, please consider it, because this is a time, you know, for the next month we can really help our schools. And if you have got the qualifications to work in the school environment, let's take advantage of that and offer yourself, because it'd really be a great public service to help our schools. Next question.
We know that cases in schools are continuing to spike, just, you know, like everywhere else right now. And Dr. Romero just said that kids ages 5 to 11, only about 10% are vaccinated. You also said that about 30% of people who are just going to the hospital for something else find out they have COVID and they didn't know they had it. So there's a lot of people that could be spreading it. They don't know they're spreading it. A lot of parents are concerned they're sending kids to school, you know, and that it could spread more as cases rise. What would you say to those parents, and what is being done to limit that spread?
Well, the vast majority of the students that you worry about are eligible for a vaccine. And so I would say to the parents, have your children been vaccinated? Have they got the shots that they are able to get? And that's the first thing. It's a very simple answer. And so that is the vast majority of protection you can have in the schools. And sure, there's always a chance of it being conveyed anyway, despite the vaccination status. But as you can see from the statistics, that protects you from serious illness and reduces the odds significantly of being infected. And so that's a very simple response that the parents can have.
Can you speak on the increased demand of N95 and KN95 in relation to students in schools and the accessibility of those masks to students, since regular masks and cloth masks are no longer recommended?
Well, there is some protection, but that's the reason we sent, they're not N95 or KN95, but they're high filtration masks that were previously sent. You know, they very well could be used up, but the schools can acquire those higher level filtration masks. They've been given funds for those purposes, and we encourage them to make those masks available as needed. Johnny, do you have anything else on that?
Yes, right before I came over, my team notified me that we have another shipment of 300,000 masks that should be shipped Thursday, distributed directly to the school districts. And the manufacturer in Mountain Home is ramping up, getting additional material. So the department is providing masks again, as we did back in the fall, and we'll continue to monitor the availability of those. But as the governor said, districts do have funds. Their ESSER funds are for specifically that type of purpose. So we would also encourage districts to look at that to meet their needs. They're called the Masketeers.
And those are high filtration masks, so they're higher quality that provide a higher level of protection.
Do you know what day the survey was? And number two, do you know how many of these deaths that we're reporting were Omicron related, and how many were maybe legacy Delta deaths?
On the first question, and if it was about probably 8 days ago that survey was taken. I've started asking questions about it, and that's when the survey was taken. Dr. Romero could probably provide the precise date, but that's the approximate time. And then in terms of the deaths, we do not have, like when they go into the hospital, we don't know whether it's the Omicron variant or the Delta variant, because we're not testing everyone to that extent. They're just treated as a COVID patient. And the same thing would apply for a death related to COVID. We don't know exactly which of the variants. Now we know a little bit more because we know what's dominant out. And so we presume over time that the hospitalizations will be the Omicron variant. Dr. Romero, you better help me out here.
No help needed, Governor. So the exact date, we asked for this on the 4th of January, so last week. And that's one day in time, so please keep that in mind. I believe you also asked about whether we knew whether the deaths were due to Omicron or not. Well, yeah, most of these are not legacy deaths. They're recent deaths. We'll have more information to give you on that if you want. But these are occurring now. Now, the other thing that you need to keep in mind is that deaths are occurring with the Omicron. They're being reported. And we're seeing these approximately 21 days after, right, because that's when the deaths generally occur, 21 days after the spike has begun. So we should begin to see, unfortunately, more deaths as we see more people infected.
Jay?
I know lawmakers last week brought up the traveling nurse dynamic. I know it's kind of putting its own strain on the hospital system.
Yes, and we learn a little bit from experience as well. But we allocate those funds to the hospitals, and they determine the best way to staff their beds. If they can do it by their existing staff, or the recruitment of additional staff, then more power to them. Some of them can only do it through contract nurses, and so we leave it to the hospital to determine the best way to staff those beds, and then we allocate the funds for that.
But is the traveling nurse concept becoming a bigger financial strain for maybe some bigger hospitals in the state, or even the smaller ones?
Oh, absolutely. It's a financial strain for them, and they were starting to release the traveling nurses and reduce their reliance upon the contract nurses as we saw Delta going away. And then all of a sudden Omicron comes back in, and they're saying, well, we might not be able to release those, and in fact we might have to accelerate those. And of course, the longer you wait, sometimes the more the price goes up because the demand goes up. So it's a very difficult situation for us, and that's one of the reasons that we, in the last round of payments to hospitals, provided some additional funds for the existing staff. We wanted to reward them as well at that time.
With the new shipment of at-home tests that's expected tonight, would more distribution centers open, or would these just go to the current ones?
No, it'd go to the current distribution facilities. As we do have others that are waiting and would like to be in the distribution chain, but we've held off on some of those because we wanted to have a greater supply. With the limited supply that we have now, the existing distribution chain should be sufficient, and it should be in every county.
And do you have to register online for those at all, or you can just people can just show up? There's no requirement.
They can just show up. They can show up. It's the honor system. We do have the rules of limits on how much each person can obtain and how much each family can attain per visit, so we can get them fairly evenly spread out. We have some questions remotely. Please go ahead.
Hey, Governor, this is Anna Darling from KNWA Fox 24 here in Fayetteville. There was a photo on social media from this past weekend of you at a boys basketball tournament. Nobody was wearing masks in the photos. And many people in the comments had a lot of concerns about that. Just wanted to know if you had any comment or response to that. Thank you.
Listen, I was very happy with that moment. That was my grandson's basketball game. And this is where we need some grace. We shouldn't be, in the judging business here. In Bentonville School, where this was held, is prohibited by law. By a court decision from having a mask mandate. So they couldn't have mask required of the students in the facility. And they had a great basketball tournament. And so I was, and of course a picture is a 30-second moment in time as well. So I was proud of that moment. And that's just an example of where we don't stop living because this is here. But as everyone knows, you get vaccinated and you take the precautions that the circumstances dictated, and I believe we did that night.
Governor, are you familiar with the World Health Organization report that within the next 6 to 8 weeks, half of all Europeans could be infected? with the coronavirus and that being the case, maybe this is going to last longer than January.
Dr. Merrill, do you want to comment on that?
I'm sorry, I caught the first part about half the Europeans being infected.
The World Health Organization is saying that within the next 6 to 8 weeks, half of all Europeans might be infected with COVID.
That's correct. That was released today. So
what does that mean for Arkansas?
Well, it means that the virus is here. It's going to spread within the state. You know, we're trying to keep it from overwhelming our healthcare system. That is our systems. That is the biggest issue. We know that how to do that. We know that by vaccination, by wearing masks, and by social distancing. So I think that's proof that this is not going away shortly, and that if you're not infected, you can become infected, and you need to take whatever precautions are appropriate for you at that moment.
Let's go remotely again. There's another question.
Hi, Governor. This is Imani Williams at KAIT. This may be a question for you or Secretary Key. The districts around here and across the state have started to implement the 5-day quarantine that the CDC recently sent over. I was just wondering if you all have seen that that is working here in the state or if that is presenting more challenges.
I think Secretary Key would be delighted to answer that.
I think it's working. I think in conjunction with the plans for AMI that districts have already put in place, we are seeing that they are able to recover quickly and re-establish in-person learning. One example, just today before I came over, I was notified that the Little Rock School District is resuming on-site instruction for most of their buildings, all but I think 9 buildings in the district. I think that can be attributed to those who were close contacts but did not turn symptomatic in those 5 days. Now they can come back to work more quickly than the previous guidance. So yes, I think it's working and will be very helpful for our schools.
Next question.
I've got a question for Dr. Romero. Has there been any cases where a fully vaccinated person has tested positive more than once?
So fully vaccinated and tested more than one positive more than once in this particular spike or previously?
You can say in comparison both if you like.
Yeah, I don't have that data. It's not inconceivable that it could happen. So we would have to go back. I'm not sure that we can actually capture that data of two subsequent infections after having been vaccinated.
Could you clarify, because, you know, we've seen some people messaging, things like that, that 30% of people at the hospital that are testing positive when they get there, that doesn't mean they're catching COVID in the hospital. Yeah. That means they're getting tested when they arrive.
Well, absolutely. It does not mean that at all. And so the hospitals have a policy that if you're coming in and being admitted to the hospital, you have to be tested because they want to know if somebody is positive for COVID. If they're going to admit them, that's a responsibility they would have to their staff and to the other patients. And so they very well might not be symptomatic. They're going in there for another purpose. And so they're it's unknown to them, and they're tested, they're positive. They go in for their other procedure, and they're handled with the COVID protocols. All right, with that, thank you very much today. Have a good day.